Jesus answered him, "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." Good morning.
Morning.
This week I've been really challenged with one question. And so I thought this morning I would share that question with you and ask you to share in that challenge that I've had. Obviously, I've had all week to kind of ponder on that and think about it, and I'm just going to give you guys 1 minute or so. But that question is, what do you want to be like? And I've been challenged, as you see all these people in the world and all these celebrities, you know, who do I want to be like? Do I want to be like David Beckham or Richard Branson or even the Queen? Who do I want to be like in my life? Who do I look up to? Who do I admire? So I ask you that question now, and I want you to turn to the person next to you, and you have a minute, just say who you want to be like and why. So who do you want to be like? And turn to each other. Thank you. Okay, shall we come back or yeah. We'll start to finish up. Sorry. Okay, so would anyone like to shout out any names? Who did they say?
No.
Good one. Anyone else?
I thought I might quite like to be the Queen, to be honest.
Yeah. Me too. Yeah. So there is so many people that we could... Yeah. So I found myself, as I was thinking about this week, kind of drawing to the Bible characters and kind of thinking, well, okay, who in the Bible could I be like? There's so many great people. Who do I admire to be like? And you start off at Adam and Eve. You know, the first people created in God's image. You've got people like Moses, who led his people out of Egypt, God's people out of Egypt. You've got David, who defeated a giant. You just have so many people in the Bible that we could look up and admire to be like and just take something from them and learn from them. But the character or the person in the Bible that I most look up to and admire to be like is the thief. Yeah, you heard me right. I said the thief. The thief that died on the cross next to Jesus. The guy who said to Jesus, "Remember me when you're in your kingdom." So turn with me now to Luke 23. Verses 32 in the Church Bible is page 1060. So, would someone else like to read it? I'm not asked anyone, but would someone like to read it? Shall I get a mic? I think Bill's offered it. Thank you. So it's verse Luke 23, 32 to 43, if that's okay.
Yep. Two other men, both criminals, were also led out with him to be executed. When they came to the place called the Skull, there they crucified him, along with the criminals, one on his right, the other on his left. Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And they divided up his clothes by casting lots. The people stood watching, and the rulers even sneered at him. They said, "He saved others. Let him save himself if he is the Christ of God, the chosen one." The soldiers also came up and mocked him. They offered him wine vinegar and said, "If you are the king of the Jews, save yourself." There was a written notice above him which read, "This is the king of the Jews." One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. "Aren't you the Christ? Save yourself and us." But the other criminal rebuked him. "Don't you fear God," he said, "since you are under the same sentence? We are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Jesus answered him, "I tell you the truth, today you will be with me in paradise." May God bless this reading to us.
Thank you, Bill. What an amazing story, and one that we hear so often, and especially at Easter time. But just picture it. Two ordinary guys. Yes, they've done stuff wrong. They are criminals. But we don't know why they've done the things that they've done. But they're criminals. Two ordinary guys. And they've done stuff wrong. And for that, they're being punished. And they're going to die on a cross. That was the way they were going to be punished. And with them was another guy. A guy that claimed to be the saviour of the world. Jesus. And they went on that walk. And they were punished. They had to carry their crosses. And these two guys would have seen Jesus being beaten. More than what they were being beaten. They would have had a few whips and stuff. But imagine as they're carrying their cross and they're seeing Jesus being beaten and beaten. And then they find themselves hanging there, not able to do anything, just hanging there. The last days, the last minutes of their lives. And one of them turns to Jesus and agrees with everyone else and says, "Look, if you are who you say you are, save us right now. Save us." Because he could only see past that moment. He could only live in the present. He could only see the life that was in front of him. And he wanted Jesus to save their lives right now. But then the other one, he's seen beyond that. He's seen beyond where they were at that moment. And he could see that there was more to life than what he had. And that there was more to life. And that actually Jesus was there to save them. And Jesus was going to go into his kingdom. And he turned to Jesus at his darkest moment. And he said, "Jesus, remember me. Remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus' response was so precious. "I tell you, today you'll be with me in paradise." You see, because that man, that thief, he realized that it wasn't our deeds that save us, but actually the acceptance of Jesus. and the desire to know him, and the desire to sit with him. That's what would save him. That's what would make his life meaningful. Yes, he had minutes to live, and he couldn't really change the life that he had lived, but he could change where he would be for eternity. And he longed and desired to have that relationship with Jesus. He realized that that's what was missing in his life. And he turned to Jesus at that moment and asked to be with him. He accepted that Jesus was who he said he was, and that he could have a life with him. Now, if you ask me, that is someone that I admire, to actually realize that they've done wrong. And he could have just let his life finish and have done with it. But he didn't, because he realized that there was more to life and that he could have a relationship with Jesus. And I think it shows the greatness of God's grace and how worthy we are. Because Jesus died for us on the cross, which meant that these ordinary guys could be with him in paradise. Both of them died on that cross. And because of the grace of God, they both could have been in paradise with him. You remember in Mark 10, James and John had a conversation with Jesus. And they said, we want to be at the left and the right hand when you're in glory. And Jesus said to them, you don't know what you're asking, because it is such a big thing. It is such a big thing that they didn't understand. But yet, he then went on and said it wasn't for him to grant that, because those places had been prepared for them, been prepared already. And to me, that shows the importance of being with Jesus in paradise. That there's a place prepared for each and every one of us. Both thieves had that opportunity. They both shared the same death. They had a Savior's death. They had the same death as Jesus did. Jesus died on that cross. These thieves died in the same way. But did they both go to paradise? So I guess what I want to bring out this morning is that we are worthy. Jesus died for us, and we have a great life with him ready for us. That we don't have to be scared, and we don't have to think that we're not good enough, because God is good enough. And as a result of that, his grace says that we are good enough. That he died on the cross for us. And all we have to do is come just as we are. I just have to come just as I am. I don't have to want to be like anyone else. I just have to be myself. I don't have to admire to be like the Queen or David Beckham or anyone else. I just have to be myself and long to have that relationship with Jesus. To want to be in the presence of God. To sit at his side. That is what it takes. And that is what it was for the thief. Both of them did have a choice to make that day. And one of them made the choice to acknowledge that Jesus was who he said he was. So we just have to come as we are. God has plans for us, and sometimes we don't always feel worthy, we don't feel good enough. We might have a challenge in front of us, and yet we don't feel that we're ready for it. And I just want to encourage you, brothers and sisters, today, that we are good enough, that we just have to come just as we are and just let God use us. We might feel too old or too young, not experienced enough. Whatever it is, just come just as we are and let Him do the rest. But if you're anything like me, that's quite hard to grasp. See, I really struggle. And I guess that's why I'm here sharing this with you today, because it's a struggle that I live with all the time. But I really struggle to accept that. That actually I do stuff wrong all the time. I am a sinner. And how can God possibly use me? I am doing things wrong all the time. I'm committing sins on a daily basis. And I picture this as a child. You know, I remember going to my mum and I've done something wrong and I say sorry. And I remember my mum saying to me, but sorry's not good enough. You say sorry all the time. You're just saying sorry, but you don't actually mean it. And I guess that's how I feel with God sometimes. He probably just feels it's a broken record that I'm just saying sorry all the time. I know it's not a Justin Bieber song, if anyone's a Justin Bieber fan. It's not just about saying sorry. And then that's brought me to realizing, actually, it's about repentance. And so many times I come and I repent and I ask for forgiveness, but maybe it's not just about repentance. Maybe it's a lifestyle of repentance. It's about living a life, acknowledging God, acknowledging Him and wanting to have that relationship with Him, and then going on a journey on a daily basis with Him. Because we do commit sins, and we don't always get it right, because the only person that was perfect was Jesus. So we need to come to Him on a daily basis. It's about a lifestyle of repentance. So what does that look like? Well, if I'm honest, I'm not really sure, because I think for each person, it looks different. And you will find what that is for yourself as you dig deeper into God's grace. But I think there's a great example of that, or a prayer, where King David, in Psalm 51, if you would like to turn to Psalm 51 in the Church Bibles, it's page 573. And David is in a dark place. He has done some serious stuff wrong. And this is the prayer that he kind of prays as he's confronted about that. I'm going to read it from the Message translation, so it will be different to what you've got in front of you. But yeah, I just like the way this is worded. And I'm just going to read it and just see if we can, as I read it, just picture and what David's actually praying or what he's actually saying to God. As he's talking to God here, just hold on to that and what is he actually saying? And remember that concept of the lifestyle of repentance that I'm sharing with you. So Psalm 51. Generous in love, God, give grace. Huge in mercy, wipe out my bad record. Scrub away my guilt. Soak out my sins in your laundry. I know how bad I've been. My sins are staring me down. You're the one that I've violated. And you've seen it all. Seen the full extent of my evil. You have all the facts before you. Whatever you decide about me is fair. I've been out of step with you for a long time. In the wrong since before I was born. What you're after is the truth from the inside out. Enter me, then conceive a new, true life. Soak me in your laundry and I'll come out clean. Scrub me and I'll have a snow white life. Tune me into the foot tapping songs. Set these once broken bones to dance in. Don't look too close for the blemishes. Give me a clean bill of health. God, make a fresh start in me. Shape a Genesis week from the chaos of my life. Don't throw me out with the trash or fail to breathe holiness in me. Bring me back from grey exile. Put a fresh wind in my sails. Give me a job teaching rebels your ways so the lost can find their way home. Commute my death sentence. God, my salvation, God. And I'll sing anthems to your living ways. Unbutton my lips. Dear God, I'll let loose with your praise. Going through the motions doesn't please you. A flawless performance is nothing to you. I learned God worship when my pride was shattered. Heart, shattered lives, ready for love. Don't for a moment escape God's notice. Make Zion the place you delight in. Repair Jerusalem's broken down walls. Then you'll get a real worship from us. Acts of worship, small and large, including all the balls they have that they can heave onto your altar. Now, in that, there's a whole other sermon in itself. But there's four points that I just want to take out of that. That conversation with God, that prayer that David was sharing. You see, the first thing that he did was he acknowledged Jesus, because he acknowledged God and acknowledged that he needed to have his life with God in it. And we've got to remember, David is praying this from the thought that actually Jesus hasn't died on the cross yet, because he will come from the line of David. So actually, he's coming straight from it in with a relationship with God, and he's acknowledging God, and then he acknowledges his failures, he acknowledges what he's done, and he acknowledges the fact that he shouldn't be forgiven. He's done some evil things, and yet he's still asking God to wash him clean. He's acknowledging that he's done some wrong things and he doesn't want to do that anymore. And he wants to turn away from those things. So he acknowledges. And then he asks for forgiveness. He asks God to forgive him. And it's not just saying sorry. He's really digging deep inside. And he's saying, God, forgive me. He's asking for forgiveness. To be washed clean. And then the third thing is renewal. He's asking for renewal in his life. That he can't go on the way he's going now. That he needs to be washed clean. He needs God back in the centre of his life. Because if you remember, David is claimed to have a heart after God's own heart. He had that desire to know what God's heart was. To just be in that place. And yet, somewhere along the line, he got caught up in loads of different things. And he's just coming back now and saying, just renew me. See, David realizes that there will be consequences for the things that he's done, which we won't go into today, but do go to 2 Samuel and you can read what happened and get familiar with that. But yeah, there was consequences to what he had done. But he realized, I suppose, very similar to the thief, that it wasn't about his earthly life. It wasn't about where he was right at that moment. It's about the future. And he acknowledged that life without God isn't worth living. So he's saying, God, just wash me clean. I need you in my life. And then he's saying, the fourth point, he says, use my sin. Use my failures. Use what I've done wrong. Use me. I want you. Let's make a difference now. You've washed me clean. And now I'm saying I'll step out and do what you want me to do. I want your glory to come. So even though in all those things that David had done wrong, he was able to come and to God and just say, use me. So he repented and understood that this wouldn't happen overnight, but he would commit the rest of his life to this. A lifestyle of repentance. It isn't going to happen overnight. You become a Christian, as you know, and your life doesn't just change. I could go through loads of stuff in my life, loads of challenges and loads of sins that God has been dealing with. And it's taken years for me to overcome some of them. And it's that journey. And I guess I just want to encourage us this morning that we're on a journey with God. And I just want to remind you that you're worthy. And that there's times where you feel actually you're not coming anywhere, that you're going through the same old stuff. Well, we all are. And God's building that up in us. And he wants to use you. And yeah, and we're on that journey with him, that lifestyle of repentance. It's taken me a long time to grasp that, to feel that I'm good enough. To even stand here, I just feel, you know, how can God possibly use me when I've got so much going on in my life? And yet, he died on that cross for me. And all I have to do is come just as I am. I don't have to be like anyone else. I just have to be myself. it is a journey to go on, and I guess it, Jesus answered the thief and said, "Truly I tell you, today you are with me in paradise." Let's just grasp. Let's just get hold of that in a moment and just, what does that truly mean for us? "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." I'd like to invite David to come back up, if that's okay. And yeah, I am almost finished. But I don't think God's finished with us, is he? You know, I've finished my talk now, and that's great. But God's using us. And I want to encourage you to actually, let's listen to what he has to say to us. And even when we go out this door, I have a tendency on a Sunday morning to listen to what God has said to me, ponder it on my walk home, which is 2 minutes that way, and then get on with the rest of my day and my week, and then come back to church next Sunday and go through the same. Well, let's dig deeper into God. There's a song that's been on my heart for a long time, and that is "Just As I Am." And I was too young to remember it when Billy Graham did his crusades, and he would come and he would preach, and then at the end he would play this song, "Just As I Am." I obviously came across it a little bit later, and as I looked into the life of Billy Graham and watched some of his crusades and actually seen that amazing act of God, what was happening. And people were coming just as they were to hear God. Just as they were. And they were challenged at that crusade, saying that it was the song that was so emotional that got people to come forward. So on his next crusade to England, Billy made that decision not to play that song for a number of times. And there was more people coming forward. They just had silence, and it wasn't the song that did it, it was God. But as we hear this song now and we come and we worship, "Just As I Am," let's let God do that work in us. Let's reflect on those words, "Just as I am." Let him do the work. But you don't have to be anyone else but yourself. "Truly, I tell you, today, you'll be with me in paradise."
This song, Helen and myself and other members of the leadership team will be available to pray with you if any of this has struck a chord in you and you want prayer, so that you can truly grasp all that God has got for you. Please come forward and we will be just over to the side and we will pray with you.
"Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, that thou wouldst me come to thee, O Lamb. Come, just as I am, though tossed about with many a conflict, many a doubt, fightings and fears within, without. Riches he